Hey, you guys, time for another Tomes of Terror. And on this installment, we are going to be talking about this little mindfuck of a book right here, I'm Thinking of Ending Things by Ian Reid. Now, the reason I decided to review this particular book this particular week, I had actually scheduled to do another one this week, but I pushed this one up in the rotation because only a couple of days ago, I noticed that Netflix had dropped a movie adaptation of this novel, directed by Charlie Kaufman, of all things. So I thought it would be very interesting to read the book and watch the movie and then compare the two. This isn't going to be a movie review necessarily because I mostly want to focus on the book, but I will kind of get into how the book differs from the movie in some ways without really spoiling anything. So like I said, just as I said in all my previous reviews, I'm not going to spoil anything. I'm not going to spoil the big reveal at the end of this book, but you know, some things that I say might be considered like mild spoilery or might give you more information about the book than you might want going into it. So if you're the kind of person that likes to go into things like knowing as little about them as possible, you might not want to watch this until after you've read the book. Now, the book is very short. It's only like 250 pages, and some of it, and actually it's the leading is pretty large. If you're a graphic designer, you know what I'm talking about. That means there's a lot of space between the lines. So it's really not very long at all. I read it probably in about 3 hours over a day or two. So, you know, it doesn't take that long. So if it sounds like something that you would like after, you know, I've kind of sold it a little bit, then read it and then come back and we'll talk about it. So like I said, I've actually had this book in my to read and to review pile for probably a month or two because it was one of those books that kept getting recommended by a bunch of different other, you know, book review channels that I watch and like on Goodreads and things like that. It has pretty high ratings on there. So I was eventually going to get to this one. But when I saw that the movie came out, I was like, oh, why not? You know, it'll be timely. It'll be topical. So this is the first novel of writer Ian Reid. He's Canadian, I believe. He had written two books prior to this, but they were both nonfiction. So as I said, this is first fictional novel. Now, it seems to have gotten pretty high critical praise. It's gotten on, like, it was on NPR's, like, Best Books of the Year list, all this other stuff. It came out in 2016, I believe. But it does really seem like the critics seem to love it. A lot of the readers, like on Goodreads and on the other book review sites, seem to love it. However, there is a contingent of people that really, really did not like it or really, really didn't seem to get it. So let's talk about that a little bit, because I will say, I mean, I really liked this book. I found it very unsettling, and it gave me like some really weird dreams. But the thing about this book is that I would call it literary horror, not in the way that it's written, because it's actually very terse and very straightforward. So the text is not like flowery or not hard to understand or anything like that in any way, shape, or form, but just in the themes that it explores and the fact that it's tinged with surrealism. It doesn't really give you a definitive narrative in the sense that, you know, things happen in it and it has like a story to it, like, you know, people go to a place and this happens and this happens. But a lot of the stuff that happens in the book is internalized, like internalized monologue, internalized. And there's like a lot of philosophical discussions like between the characters. There's a lot of references to other books, other poems, which aren't always pointed out. So it's almost kind of like a puzzle story. And this is definitely, definitely a book that needs two reads. I mean, once you get to the end and you find out what has been going on, like what the big reveal is, it's probably instructive to go back and read it again so you can just kind of pick up all the threads and see where the little breadcrumbs were that was leading to that final revelation at the end. And I actually do want to read this again. This strikes me very much, I would still call it a horror novel. It's not a thriller. It's not a ghost story. It's not anything like that. This is more, I guess it's more psychological horror, but like I said, it's also very literary in the sense that it has like a much deeper meaning. It's not real action-packed. It's not nothing like that. But the thing about this book is that I can't really put my finger on it. It's very funny because one of the things on the back of the book says, the description of the book says, you will be scared, but you won't know why. And I'm like, yeah, that's a pretty like succinct summation of what's going on in this book, because before you really know what's going on, it's almost kind of like, you know, as things are happening in the book and then like the character is thinking things or saying things, and it almost seems random, but even though it's random, it's still like just these little random things kind of like worm their way into your head. And it's just like, it's really like constructs this enormous structure of menace and like unease. And you're not even entirely sure like where that's coming from. Like some of the images that, you know, that they talk about in the story, or, you know, that one of the characters is thinking about are horrific images. But I think it's not even just that. I mean, that helps, obviously, but just the little details in this are just so creepy. And then like in total, even if you are not entirely sure what they mean, especially like during your first read through, even if you're not even entirely sure what they mean, it still just kind of like just drips away. And it just kind of constructs this entire like edifice of like eeriness that it's really, really hard to shake off. And this is one of those books that like after I read it, I was like thinking about it for like a couple of days afterward, because I was like, man, that was messed up. You know what I mean? So basically, if you want a plot synopsis, because this is not a real plot heavy book, the plot is not important. So the plot of this book is that there is the narrator, who is the unnamed girlfriend of a guy named Jake. Now, she has been thinking about, quote unquote, ending things. That's actually the first sentence of the novel. I'm thinking about ending things, which is also the title, obviously. And you're led to believe that, and the way that she thinks, like her internal monologue, you're led to believe that her and Jake, she really likes him as a dude. And like, you know, they've been having a good time. They've been dating for 6 or 7 weeks. She's not entirely clear, but she just thinks it's not going to work out. Maybe it would be better off if she, maybe she would be better off if she was alone. And that kind of goes off on a whole philosophical tangent of on relationships, on if you can ever know somebody else, on, you know, are humans better off being alone because, you know, you don't have all this drama, all these other things going on. So she's been thinking about that, but she hasn't told Jake this yet. So they are going to meet his parents. Now, this is not set in any particular place. I was assuming it was like some rural place in Canada because that's where Ann Reed is from, but it could really be anywhere, like any kind of rural place, like out in the middle of a snowstorm. So they're basically driving a long way out to the farm where Jake grew up, and she's going to meet his parents. So she's kind of going back and forth with herself. Like, she kind of feels guilty that I'm going to meet his parents, and like she thinks that he's going to have expectations because of that. And, you know, she feels bad because she's thinking about breaking up with him, and it's like, maybe we shouldn't have come on this trip. But then on the other hand, she's also very conflicted about maybe everything's going to be okay. And maybe she can't really think of any reason why she wants to break up with him necessarily. Like, he's not a bad dude. It's like, you know, he's nice. And she like talks about all the things she likes about him, both physically and, you know, about, you know, his personality and like his intelligence and things of that nature. So that's kind of going on. So probably the first third of the book is just them in the car and her thinking about, you know, the impending breakup and kind of waxing philosophical about that. And also kind of, you know, when she sees certain things, like she'll have memories about stuff that happened to her in childhood or something like that. Like in one particular very unsettling scene, which I don't know why it kind of stuck with me, but where she was talking about one of the scariest things she ever saw. And when she was a child, you know, she woke up once and saw a man outside of her window. But the creepiest detail about it, and I don't know why this creeps me out so much, but the creepiest detail about it was that she thought he was looking at her, even though he was so tall that his head was like, you know, over the level of the top of the window. So there's no way that he could have seen in unless he was like ducking down. So she just sees like his torso and like part of his legs, and it's like he's just standing there, and then like he waves at her, and for some reason that like I was just like nope the fuck out on that. I'm like, I don't know why that unsettles me so much, but it's just, it's little shit like that, and you don't even really know until the end, and even maybe not even then, like what those images mean, like what they all add up to, but it just like all adds to this like really, really eerie, like this kind of mounting tension, and this is, everything's kind of like menacing but not exactly, and you're not even really sure why it's menacing. So the first third of the book, like I said, is them having like philosophical conversations. Like he's a physicist and or something of that nature, so they kind of have some discussions about that. And you know, and like I said, this whole time she's kind of like having memories and thinking about her future with him, thinking about how they met, you know, and thinking about ending it if it's fair and all these other things. So then like the second act of the book is when they actually get to Jake's parents' farmhouse. And then it gets even like more unsettling because they get there. It's like I said, it's a snowstorm. They're just going there for dinner and like for her to meet them. And they're not planning to stay overnight or anything like that. It's just a visit. So it's this farmhouse, but it's like really remote. And there's not really that many animals on it. And then she sees a couple things on there that are kind of disturbing, but not in a way that, you know, not in a way you'd be like, oh, they're serial killers. It's stuff that you would normally see around a farm, but it's still like creepy if you're not used to growing up in that environment. And then when she actually meets his parents, there's all kind of little things that happen in the house that are just like really, really off, like about the two of them. Not, and like I said, it's not in a menacing way. They don't seem evil. They don't come across like they're going to kill her. They don't come across anything like that. But there's just all these little bitty things, like they take too long to come downstairs, almost like they didn't know that they were coming. You know, what, like the mom acts really strange, like one of her toenails is missing. It's just like all this really creepy shit, like that kind of stuff. At some point, the girlfriend, like I said, who doesn't have a name in the story because she's the narrator, you know, goes down to the basement. She finds these really weird drawings, and she goes up to Jake's old room, supposedly, and like looks around and finds all these things and talks to his dad for a bit. So there's that whole thing. So then when they leave the parents' house, like the storm has been getting worse and worse. And the, you know, the parents say, oh, you know, you can stay and everything. But she's like, no, we have to get back. We have to work tomorrow. And then for some reason, they decide to stop at Dairy Queen because Jake wants something sweet. So they stop at Dairy Queen, and then, you know, they decide they don't want like what they got there, like after they leave, because it's like freezing cold outside. And so he insists, oh, well, we have to go down this like really remote road to this high school because we have to throw these cups away, or, you know, it'll melt in the cup holders and it'll get the cup holders all sticky and I don't really want to have to deal with that. Like, I don't like the cups being in the car. So they go down this really long, lonely road to like this big, huge high school that's like out of the middle of nowhere. And so he can go get rid of the cups. So the whole third act takes place at this school where basically, I don't really want to spoil this part because this was like really creepy. So it's like in three parts kind of. So it's like going to the parents' house, at the parents' house, and then after they leave the parents' house and all the creepy shit that happens after that with him going into the school for a reason I won't disclose, you know. So it, and then like the last third of it almost becomes like almost like a stalker or like a chase type of thing, like through this darkened high school or whatever. That's what the plot is. But as I said, there's a lot going on underneath all the stuff, like in the thoughts that she's having. And it's really, really hard to talk about without saying what the reveal is. As I said, if you like literary horror, if you like surreal horror, if you just like something that you don't necessarily have to understand it, but it's just like a bunch of creepy, unsettling images that kind of worm their way into your brain, if you are into that type of stuff, then you will probably love this book. Now let's talk a little bit about the movie adaptation. So I just watched the movie adaptation yesterday. As I said, it was directed by Charlie Kaufman, who, if you don't know who that is, he also did Adaptation. He did Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, Being John Malkovich, all great movies. So he was probably the best person to adapt this book because when I heard that there was a movie made of it, I was just like, how are you even going to do that, man? It's like I don't, it's one of those things where I just had no, if somebody asked me to adapt it, I'd be hosed because I'd be like, I would have no idea like how to approach it. So I can see why they gave it to somebody like Charlie Kaufman, who is, quite known for doing this type of thing, like this surrealist. Oh, he also made Cynic Doge New York, which is also a great movie if you haven't seen that. One thing I will say about the movie adaptation, I did like it, but it's a lot different than the book. Like, kind of the plot beats are the same. The reveal is the same. Generalities are the same. But I feel like the little bits of it are different in a way that almost puts it in a different genre. Like, the movie, I don't think I would call that a horror movie at all. The movie is more like a weird, philosophical, dreary, like kind of depressing, but also kind of weirdly funny movie. Like, it has creepy moments, but nothing like the book. I mean, when I saw it, and like I said, that's not a ding against the movie. I'm just saying that it's different enough that I don't even think it's the same genre as the book. I don't think I would even call it a horror movie by any stretch of the imagination. It's really, really not. Charlie Kaufman added a lot of stuff that wasn't in the book. Like, all the stuff about, if you've seen the movie, like all the stuff in there about Oklahoma. All of the stuff about the references he made to like A Beautiful Mind, the references he made to some other movies and other books and poems and stuff, that was not in the book. But I don't mind that he added, because like I said, it's his own vision, and he's kind of known for, I mean, very famously, his movie adaptation was actually about the process of adapting The Orchid Thief, which again was another book that was very, because I read it many years ago, which was another book that, a lot of people said it was really, really hard to adapt. And he had such a hard time adapting it that he made a movie about adapting it that also incorporated the book that he was trying to adapt. You know what I mean? So he's very into like doing those kind of metatextual kind of things, which, like I said, that's probably what made him like the perfect choice to do a movie like this. But on the other hand, I do feel like it strayed so far from the source material or the spirit of the source material that I don't think that it's a horror movie anymore. I didn't find the movie creepy. It was weird, and it was, I'm not even really sure what to say. It was just like a weird, surreal movie, but it didn't like creep me out the way the book creeped me out. And a lot of the things in the movie were kind of done like, the part at the end, like in the schoolhouse, was kind of done like it was well lit and everything. And that's not really how I was picturing it. Because the end, he changed the end quite a lot, like the third act. When I was picturing it, when I was reading the book, I just pictured everything being dark because, I mean, that's kind of how they describe how he described it in the novel, like her just kind of creeping around through this darkened school, and there was just like little exit lights and it was like really scary, so the whole book, I mean, I kind of felt like this really isolating, insular kind of, everything's dark, it's like everything's covered with snow, there's like all this blood. So it was just very claustrophobic, and I didn't really get that so much from the movie. So keep that in mind. But the weird thing about it though is like I'm watching the movie and I'm thinking to myself, so even though a lot of stuff was changed from the book, I was like, if you had not read the book prior to watching the movie, I don't think you would have any idea what was going on in that movie. Maybe you would. It's like it's hard for me to say because I finished reading the book and then like the next day I watched the movie. So maybe like more astute people than me would like watch the movie and they would figure it out, but I doubt it. I mean, I kind of doubt it. I don't know. Like the book to me seemed it's not straightforward. But I didn't really find it all that difficult. Like when the end came, when the reveal came at the end, I was like, oh, I get it. Like, and I'm not gonna say. But I figured out what was going on. And the fact that I figured out what was going on, that's why I wanna go back and read it again, because I wanna see like all the little tendrils that had kind of come together at the end. But apparently, like, I've read some other reviews of the book where people were just like, what the fuck did I just read? I don't get it. Like, what happened at the end? I don't understand. But to me, it seemed pretty obvious what was going on. The movie did not seem obvious to me, even though I knew what the reveal was, even though I knew what was going on. I was thinking to myself, if I hadn't read the book, I just would not have any idea like what was going on in this movie. So in that way, like the movie is actually pretty challenging. It's just real weird. And I feel like if you haven't read the book, like you'll just be clueless as to like what all these images mean and everything. But I don't know. Your mileage may vary. I'd be interested to know if anybody watching this has seen the movie but not read the book, and if you figured out what was going on, or you know what, or what you thought, like if you read the book and saw the movie. I'd be interested to know like what you thought of the adaptation. I liked the movie, but it just didn't seem anything like the book to me, other than in the most general sense. It didn't have the same spirit as the book had. It didn't have the same mood to me. I mean, that might just be me. I'm not really sure. You know, like I said, everyone's got a different opinion, so I'd be interested to hear yours about it. But yeah, so as I said, I would recommend this to anybody that really likes surreal type of stuff, kind of more quote-unquote elevated type of horror. If you like A24 movies, if you like anything like that, you would probably dig it. It's not, you know, it's one of those ones where it's like a puzzle, kind of. So keep that in mind, that it's not going to be this real straightforward. A lot of it is just like internal monologue, flashback memories, weird imagery. It's not that inscrutable, but if you're used to just real straightforward horror, you know, this happened, that happened, that happened, like, and we killed the vampire or whatever, I don't think you're going to like it, because I think you might find it a little too obtuse. So if you don't like that kind of thing, you probably will not like this. But that said, I mean, I like all kinds of horror. So I really actually kind of dug this book. I wasn't sure I was going to when I first started reading it. Because when I first started reading it, like this very terse writing style, and I'm sitting there thinking, is this going to be too pretentious? Is it going to bother me? But I only thought that for like a page or two, and then I just got sucked right into it. And as I said, the more it went on, and like these just little details and like little creepy imagery and stuff started to build up and build up, and until it just kind of, you know, constructed this whole entire world out of darkness and snow and weirdness. And it's just, it almost kind of like encases you in a bubble in that way. And I found that after I finished reading it, it really kind of stuck with me. You know what I mean? Like it's just, images from it kept like coming up in my mind. It gave, you know, I even had dreams that were kind of like that. You know what I mean? That were like kind of referencing or, you know, glancing blow of like some of the book or whatever. But yeah, it's, you know, I found it very, very unsettling, and that's what I like in horror. So if you like that too, then give it a read. If you like surrealism, if you like unsettling type of horror, which I do, everybody knows I dig that kind of thing, then check it out. I'm thinking of ending things. And the reason it's crossed out and then not crossed out is because that title has a double meaning, which you probably could have figured out for yourself. But I just thought I'd tell you anyway. But yeah, so that'll do it for this Tomes of Terror. I'll be back next week with another one. So bye.